And we're going to hear from God's word from Romans chapter 12. We've already heard this reading today, but let's hear it uninterrupted this time.
And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge, I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to him.
When I said I was going to talk about joy today, somebody reminded me of a little childhood ditty, which I remember from my youth. I may have mentioned it here before. It's sung to the tune of Jingle Bells. Anyone know this one? It goes like this. J-O-Y, J-O-Y, this is what it means. Do you know this? Yeah. Oh, some of you know. Okay. Well, those of you who know, big round of singing for those of us who know. Okay. J-O-Y, J-O-Y, this is what it means. Jesus first, yourself last, others in between, etc. Can I say that is the biggest load of twaddle that I've ever heard in church? If that's got into your psyche, I seriously suggest you try and get it out. Not that it'll ever quite get out of mine. It's a bit of an earworm. But the problem with it is this idea of us trying to put everybody else before ourselves. I mean, we just can't do that, can we? That's impossible. I can't feed everybody else before I feed me. You know when you're on the aircraft and they talk about the oxygen masks, you know what they always say? If you want to help somebody else, what do you do first? You put your own mask on, because then you'll be in a position to help them. Jesus never told us that we were to put everybody else before ourselves. What he said was, love one another as you love yourself. And our ability to love ourselves is just so important to being Christian. Because believing in Jesus is about living in the love of God. And if we're going to find joy in our faith, then that's where we're going to find it. Now, we're starting this series of sermons this week. Obviously, we'll take a break next week. But we're starting this series. It came out of a conversation that I had with somebody last year where we were talking about the Bible. And this person said to me that one of the problems that they had with the Bible was that there were some texts in the Bible which were sort of meant to make them feel better, but actually ended up making them feel worse. So I went to the deacons and I said, okay, tell me the texts in the Bible that could make you feel worse rather than make you feel better. And those texts, some of them anyway, are going to be the ones that we're going to be having a look at over the next few weeks. Because I have a gut feel that if the Bible is making us feel worse, we're probably reading it wrong. And we probably need to have another look at it to see if we could understand what it is saying. So we're starting off this week thinking about joy. And I could mention sort of a number of texts. But you know the texts in the Bible, the ones that tell us to be joyful. That was one of the things that we were told to do in Romans chapter 12. It says, be joyful in hope. And the question that this person asked me was, am I expected to feel joyful all the time? Okay, Colin has preached this morning's sermon for us already in giving that answer. Of course, the answer to the question is no, absolutely not. God does not expect you to have this joyful feeling bubbling up within you all the time. Now, the scripture never, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure on this, the scriptures, the word of God, never commands us to feel joyful. And sometimes I think Christians, people who believe in Jesus, we can feel this pressure that because we are Christians, we ought to feel joyful. I mean, the reality is for most of us here today, sitting down here, there is very little that we can do about how we feel. We feel how we feel. If we've come in today with a heavy heart, well, yes, it's possible that God might do something wonderful in his spirit to change that. But that's not what we come here for. We're not looking for some magic device that's going to reach into our feelings and change them. What we're looking for in coming here is getting to know God. So if you felt this pressure, I ought to feel joyful, I should feel joyful, please can I try and just release you from that pressure this morning? We should only feel a sense of ought on things that God has actually told us to do. And if we haven't been told that we have to do this, then let's not be quite so concerned about it. But I mean, just to think about that pressure. A while ago, I was speaking to somebody, and this person said, it wasn't this church they were talking about, by the way, but it could easily have been. They said, I went into church on Sunday, and as I looked out in this church, everybody was praising God. Everybody was really happy. And I went in there and I was feeling really sad. I was feeling really broken. And I felt that I was some sort of second-rate Christian because I wasn't feeling like all of them were feeling. And I think there's a couple of things to say to that straight away. The first thing is, if you are saying that everybody else in the church was feeling happy, I am absolutely convinced that you're wrong. I am absolutely convinced about that. It is never the case as we come in that we're all feeling happy. It's never the case that we walk in here on a Sunday morning and we're all full of the joy of the Lord. It's often the case as we try and do what God has told us to do, that instead of it filling us with joy, it fills us with dread. And the other thing to say about that is, what is all this stuff about feeling a second-rate Christian? What on earth is a second-rate Christian? Our faith is incredibly precious to God. God loves it. God looks at our faith and it fills him with joy. And if we come struggling to come to faith, but come making the effort to do it, God isn't going to go, oh, well, you weren't quite up to dancing around today. I feel bad about you. God says to us, I'm so glad you're here. Come and welcome. Come and be welcomed. Come and be part of my wonderful family. Paul writes in one of his letters that joy is part of the fruit of the Spirit. There are lots of other parts of that. There are eight other things that he mentions, but joy is part of it. Now, if joy is fruit, this is really important, try and get this bit. If joy is fruit, it follows that fruit happens at the end of a long process. It's not something that you get instantly. To get fruit, the farmer has to plant the seed has to be watered, it has to be left in the ground, the tree has to grow, the tree has to be pruned, and eventually you get the wonderful fruit. So God is working for your joy. He wants you to be joyful. But that joy takes a long time to work into our lives. Now, when we first become believers in Jesus, there's often a big surge in joy at the beginning. It doesn't happen to everybody, but it happens to a lot of people. We think, wow, this is incredible. Jesus died for me. Jesus rose from the dead. That is amazing. Wow, I never thought that sort of thing happened. And then God sends to us his Holy Spirit, and great things start to happen to us. You know, I remember when I was, 22 years old, I had this incredible experience of God's Spirit that just sort of blew me away. I mean, I spent about a fortnight afterwards on cloud nine. It was so amazing. But those experiences, whether you've had them or not, are just a little taster of the real joy that God is working in us. And the testimony of Christians across the centuries is that when people often have like this surge of wonderful joy in the opening sort of section of their Christian life, there then can follow a time, which can be a long time, where the joy is not so obvious. And you don't kind of feel the presence of God every time you want to. So don't feel a pressure to feel joyful, but trust in the God who is working within you actually to bring you to joy. Jesus cares about our joy. He said to his disciples on the night that he was arrested, the night before he died, "I've told you these things that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." Paul, the Apostle Paul, the great leader of the early church, he writes in Romans 5 using different words about the way that the Christian goes through all sorts of trials and difficulties. And he says trials lead to something and they lead to something else and they lead to something else. I don't want to go into the process in detail today. But eventually he says where you get to in the end is hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his Holy Spirit upon us. And our Bible reading this morning says, be joyful in hope. No matter where we are today, we can be joyful in the hope that we have. The secret is this: Christ in you, the hope of glory. Okay? Really important. Not Christ in you, you will feel wonderful all the time. That's the pressure we need to take off. Instead, Christ in you, the hope. And when Paul writes in Romans 5 about this, let me just read it. I probably need to say a bit more about this. He says, we boast in our sufferings because suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, character, hope, and hope is the thing that we feel joy in. That's a process. To get to the full joy of God, we will go through suffering. We will go through things that will make us persevere. We will go through things that build our character, and they will lead us to hope. And that hope will not put us to shame, but will bring us to joy. Jesus himself, it says in the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 12, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. So rather than seeing joy as something that we ought to be experiencing now, let's fix our eyes on the joy that there is for us within the future. The kingdom of God, Jesus bringing us to himself fully. And let's be motivated, let's look to that, let's be encouraged by that. Because Jesus didn't go to that cross singing and dancing and thinking everything's wonderful. Jesus went to that cross. Well, it says that on the night before that his body was drenched in tears, that the sweat was pouring from them. He was crying out to God, God, any other way but this one. And although we do not have to go through what he went through, there are things we will have to go through for the sake of the joy that there is in the future. I was at Spring Harvest last year, and there was a preacher there who really moved me in what he said. I won't go into all of his personal details, but he told us about a lot of the detail that had been happening in his life. And it turned out that in the last 2 years, he had had a string of family tragedies. And he described the impact that these had had upon his life. This is not sort of the normal things going wrong in life. This is one thing that hits hard, followed by another thing that hits hard, followed by the third one. You haven't recovered at all from the first one when the third one happens. And he said this, I think this is just so wise. He says, I want you to know something today. He said, you see me up on the stage and I'm dancing around and I'm praising God and I'm waving my hands in the air and I'm shouting, praise the Lord and hallelujah. He said, but I want you to know today, I do not feel like it. I want you to know that if today I was going on what I feel, I would be doing none of those things. He said, the reason that I'm doing these things is because I believe them. I'm doing these things because I believe in Jesus. I'm doing them because, and now I'm getting into my ad libs, I can't remember exactly what he said, but you know, I'm doing these things because I believe that Christ rose from the dead. I'm doing these things because I believe I will be with him for all eternity. And although he didn't put it like this, I think what he was saying was, I want to be a truth teller. I want to speak the truth about what I know today. Focused upon the hope of what is to be, and being grateful to God for every time in my life that I experience some of that. Hey, you know, having just spoken about that, you might have come to church completely different today. You might have come to church full of the joy of the Lord today. God might have blessed you. You might be full of it. What can I say? Please express that. And one of the challenges of being church together, and it was in the Bible reading for Romans 12, where it talks about rejoicing with those who rejoice, be full of joy with those who are full of joy, and weeping or mourning with those who are weeping and mourning. So here's a challenge for us today. If today you've come to church and you feel absolutely lousy, and somebody comes up to you and they're talking about how much God has blessed them and how wonderful it's been, okay, do not reply by saying, yeah, but my life's absolutely lousy. Express some gratitude for the fact God's blessing them. Yeah? If God's blessing someone in your church family, he's blessing you too, because we're one body together. And if somebody comes up to you and talks about how awful their life is and how sad they are today, don't say, wow, my life's brilliant. Paul hadn't heard the word empathy. I don't think it had been made up in those days. But it's what he's talking about. In fact, I think there's a case to be made that the whole of Romans chapter 12 is about living to bring joy to people. Living to bring the presence of Jesus to people for their joy. All that stuff about loving your enemies. All that stuff about being kind to people, about being patient in affliction, being faithful in prayer, about sharing with people, about practicing hospitality. It's all about seeking to bring something of the joy of the Lord into their lives. Not feeling it, but expressing it. Oh, I just want to say one other thing about joy before I finish. This wasn't in my plan when I started. But, you know, when I looked, I thought, let's do a word search on the word joy in the Bible and see what I found. I'll tell you what I found. That when you're looking at Paul and his letters, he expresses time and time again the joy that he feels in the people that he's writing to. These fellow believers. Now, some of them, he was really proud of them. They were doing well. Some of them were doing really badly. But he always took great joy in them. And as us, as a church family together, we are to learn to bring joy to one another. That's what we've been called to. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Be there. And if your brother and sister knows the Lord, just rejoice in it, because God is very gracious. And that only happens because God is at work. So, to summarize, there is no command that we should feel joyful. But there is an instruction to be joyful. Be joyful based on the truth of what Jesus has done for us. And if today you can just manage, you know, I was going into this song, you can't manage a dollop of joy. You can't manage, you can't manage the splodge of God's joy. But you can manage that tiny little drop of joy. Then offer that tiny little drop of joy to God today. However small it is, and God will greatly accept it.